I'd been a professional assassin for 10 years when something inside me snapped and I knew I couldn't go on. I quit the service and decided to get myself a different sort of life. I found a wonderful girl called Marianne, and at 6 in the morning on Brighton Beach I'd proposed to her. But I'd been followed. My old boss, Sir Richard Snark, turned up. He had one more job he wanted me to do, and if I didn't do it, he'd blow my secret life to Marianne. So I gave in. You know, I probably mess around with another man. That ain't too
cool. The Psychedelic Spy, a thriller serial in 5 parts by Andrew Risen, with James Aubrey as Billy Hindle, Gerald Harper as Sir Richard Snark, Joanna Lumley as Tara Lightbourne, Charles Gray as Jack Lightbourne, Robert Edison as Morris Browning, and Lisa Roe Beddow as Marianne. Part 2, Mondays Are Hell.
Mondays are hell. I had a little mantra I kept repeating. Get through the day. The world has narrowed. You never knew a girl called Marianne. You never planned to marry. You're in good shape. There's no pain except physical pain. Focus on 2 things. 1, temptation base. 2, beating the unarmed combat instructor.
Come on. You hate me, come on. You hate me.
At 12, I saw the chief. He was fiddling with his Toledo letter opener. I didn't know whether I was coming or going, but he was used to that.
Good morning, sir.
Well, it's just gone 12, actually, Hindle, so strictly speaking, it's the afternoon.
I'm sorry, sir.
Think nothing of it. I'm not really a bastard, you know. My wife says deep down I'm the kindest man in the world.
Glad somebody appreciates you, sir.
Don't push it, Hindle. I got a parcel this morning, special delivery from Temptation Base. It's a tape recording of Stella's last flight. All the transmissions to and from the tower at Temptation Base are recorded for security reasons. It's perfectly routine to begin with. Stella was flying a twin-engine Cessna, codenamed Green Goddess. Photographing the ocean floor using infrared equipment. It's something Lightbourne's mob are doing as a favor for the Smithsonian. And the trouble starts at 8:52 local time.
This is Tara. We'll need you. Go ahead.
I'm in trouble. I'm lost. I think I'm in real trouble out here.
Hello, Green Goddess. Please clarify. Can you state your position? Please say again, Green Goddess. I did not read you. Repeat. Did not read you. Please say again.
Everything looks all wrong. Nothing looks as it should do. The sea is the wrong color. I think the sky has somehow got below me and I have the ocean over my head. Everything's becoming hazy. Nothing looks the way it should. I can see lights.
Now they're
gone. I don't know whether I'm up or down.
Please state your position. Please state your position. Tower to Green Goddess, do you read? This is Tower, do you read?
Well, Hindle?
Vanished into the Bermuda Triangle? Do we take that explanation seriously?
Well, if there isn't a better one, yes, I suppose we must.
Is there a reason to suspect foul play?
Only the fact that Stella worked for us. Keeping an eye on Temptation Base.
Somebody killed her, you mean? The story's watertight as far as it goes, but somebody bumped her off to stop her talking?
Well, it's a theoretical possibility, isn't it?
Only if she had something to talk about.
Right.
Did she?
Well, not as far as we know.
What about the card I got?
Coincidence, perhaps?
Coincidence.
Or bad timing. Card was posted by Larry Cosgrave. He was one of Lightbourne's diving experts. Stella was having an affair with him.
It's in character.
She gave the card to Larry several hours before she took off. And Larry had the rest of the day free.
Yeah, bad timing. I see what you mean. The card arrives on my birthday. Stella has an evil sense of humor. She knows the date and gets it right. So what's going on, sir? There's something else. There has to be.
Let's take a turn around the park, shall we? Beautiful day. Shame to spend it indoors.
The Curzon Street shuffle. It meant the rest of this briefing was going to be off the record. Incomplete, too. It could only get worse.
I'm not authorized to tell you as much as I'd like, but yes, you're quite right. Stella Golding's a relatively peripheral issue in all this. We would, of course, be most interested to know what became of her, but as I say, she's not our priority. We want Jack Lightbourne de-stabilized. Retired, to use a familiar euphemism. Now, it's important he isn't hurt. It's also important that an interested foreign power has no reason to suspect any official intervention on the part of this country or its security services.
America, you mean?
Yes.
What's their problem?
Well, they're the controlling financial interest. They're telling us hands off.
Tiresome of them.
Well, you can see their point of view. They have to put a man on the moon by the end of next year.
I don't get it, sir. I'm sorry.
Does the name Gus Grissom mean anything to you, Hindle?
Ah, now I do. Virgil Gus Grissom was an Apollo astronaut. He was killed last year at Cape Kennedy when an electrical fault set fire to Apollo 1 when it was still on the launch pad. It set the entire Apollo program back about, 2 years. They've had to rebuild from scratch.
Yes, well, Temptation Base has been helping to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. In a perfect world, we'd like to get Lightbourne back to London without arousing his suspicions. And then we'd like to ask him a few questions. In a perfect world, we'd like to leave the Americans out of this completely. Your job is to get as close to that perfect scenario as you possibly can.
Retire Jack Lightbourne?
That's right.
Why?
You should know better than to ask, Kimball. Why? Because I say so. And wiser heads than mine. It's possible he's come to the end of his useful professional life. Oh, he's enormously gifted, he's a giant intellect, but... Well, few of us keep firing on all six cylinders right to the end, do we?
Unreliable, you
well,
mean?
Well, burnt out would be the preferred term.
Is he the type?
Well, I think we're all potentially the type, don't you? Given the appropriate set of circumstances. The question is, how to do it? He'll assume you come to investigate an accident, a story which you're briefed to corroborate. Whereas in actual fact, your job is to make him feel he'd like a long, long rest. Away from everything.
I drove home, past Hyde Park Corner, round Marble Arch. The hippie fraternity were looking tattier than usual, their blue denim dream really starting to fray now. I was back in it. Up to my bloodshot eyeballs. I'd been writing Marianne letters, but when we'd parted, things had been pretty sour. I'd put her on the train at Brighton only 2 days ago. I'd seen the best of her, and she'd seen the worst of me.
I'll write to you.
I don't honestly give a damn, Billy, whether you write or not.
Marianne, listen. I swear to God there's a reason.
We're not talking anymore, Billy. If you've got something to say, either say it or shut up. No, I thought you'd
have it. Will I see you again?
That depends on you, Sunshine, doesn't it? Here, the ring. You paid for it. You bloody well keep it.
Well, who could blame her? I treated her like dirt, and my only excuse was I didn't mean to. My life wasn't my own. The train pulled out, and I was back where I belonged. No man's land. I was alone with a problem to solve. Jack Lightbourne and how to hit him. Tuesday. I never saw daylight. I spent most of it in an airtight basement screening room, burning my hands on an Iron Age projector while Snark called the shots.
Jack Lightbourne, background collateral.
May I smoke, Sam?
Well, it's a disgusting habit, but a few mouths.
The picture show was high-speed indoctrination, a real brain squeezer. It combined background information learnt by rote with a sequence of 35mm slides. The slides were thrown in to give you a visual fix for each chunk of detail. The idea was you knew this stuff so well it left a hoofprint in your head.
All right, let's go through it again, Hindle, from the top. Number one.
Lightbourne's late but none too lamented father, Lord Mottram, died in June 1946, shortly after this picture was taken. Jack Lightbourne's his second son.
Number two.
Jack's older brother, Harry, inherited the title after covering himself in glory on the Normandy beaches, an amiable but completely unremarkable man. He looks it, too.
I agree. Number three.
Mother's American, completely gaga now, looked after by a nurse, cushioned by family cash. If Jack Lightbourne makes 80, he'll probably look a bit like this. Big, puffy face, obstinate mouth.
Number four.
Palm Springs, 1932, the American connection. Mummy's the daughter of a shady newspaper tycoon, Walter Rothman, seen here fundraising for Roosevelt. Lightbourne had no trouble getting security clearance to go to Los Alamos. I assume we're looking at the reason.
Correct. Number five.
One of the prefabs at Los Alamos, taken 2 weeks before the test explosion at Trinity. Lightbourne's on the left. He's very thin.
Number six.
2 days after the Nagasaki explosion. Building a bomb, it stretched him. The ultimate intellectual puzzle. Now he's in shock. You can actually see it. Look at the eyes.
Oh, sod, he doesn't know whether he's coming or going, does he? Number seven.
Our most recent picture. Outside his brother's Bayswater Peter Tear in December 1963. Back from Washington, where he'd been to President Kennedy's funeral. 2 stone heavier. Good-looking bastard. I like the signet ring with the eagle motif. Lightbourne doesn't much enjoy being a minor aristocrat. He thinks he's too intelligent. But he fancies the trimmings.
Mm-hmm. Eight.
Tara Stone. Currently Mrs. Lightbourne. She's 34. He married her 2 years ago.
Nice-looking girl, eh?
She went out there to open his mail and type his letters. Women are a hobby of his, but he never married one before. Gorgeous eyes, wide mouth, petulant expression. Likes to get her own way, I'd say.
You're jealous? Okay, lights up. Oh, you're improving all the time, like a good claret. Any ideas yet on how to hit him?
None as yet, sir, no.
Get the feel of the man, that's my advice.
Sure. Get right inside his head. I will.
Mm-hmm. Join me tonight for a spot of supper. Let's go to the Savoy.
Why?
Tara Lightbourne is staying there. She's in England for a family funeral. I thought it'd be entertaining for you to take a peek at her. In the flesh, I mean.
Snark had reserved a quiet table for two, tucked away in a corner of the main dining room. Everything was on him tonight, so I fed well. Then, at 10:40, Tara sauntered in.
In the jade trousers, he
I noticed.
Poor old Auntie Hilda took an awfully long time to come out. I've had a scrap with my hairdresser.
Well, you're here now. It's really great to see you, Tara.
How's Trick? Funerals aren't much fun.
You look terrific.
Why, thank you. Are we ready to order?
This one's on me, by the way.
No, Hugo, it's sweet of you, but I have a rule. I go Dutch with men unless I'm sleeping with them. And these days, I'm married, okay? Now, let's see the wine list.
Looks as if she's never had a problem in her life.
Probably hasn't.
If she was a man, she'd be the sort of man he'd want to punch very hard.
You are so romantic, him.
Who's the porker in the pinstripe?
Hugo Bailey. He's known her for years. He's Lloyd's broker. Friend of her parents. It's strictly platonic.
Oh, pity.
Tara's a well brought up young woman.
An hour went by. I watched her. She sat and did nothing. And she lit up Hugo's life. Rumor had it she'd been the only PA who wouldn't sleep with Jack when he asked. 6 months later, he proposed. Yeah, I thought. this chick gets what she wants effortlessly.
So long, Hugo.
See you soon, Tara.
Give my best to Toby and Juliet.
Will do.
The chinless wonder called Hugo got up and went to fetch her coat. Then as he kissed her, he patted her discreetly on the bottom. Tara smiled a big, drop-dead gorgeous smile.
Cheeky.
Cheerio, Tara.
Well, I guess it kept him sweet. Tara prowled indolently off towards the lift. Snark was already paying the bill. It was a warm night. We strolled together down the Strand like Beau Brummel and the Prince Regent.
So I've arranged for you to meet someone.
Oh, yes? Morris Browning. At Garnet, University College, Oxford, old mate of Lightbulbs.
Browning? You knew Morris once upon a time, didn't you?
Or have I got my file, Mr.?
Morris was my tutor.
Oh, yes, you went up there on some kind of a grant, didn't you? From the workhouse, one of life's waifs and strays.
What's Morris got to do with this?
Officially? Officially, nothing. He's out to pasture, but unofficially, he's still at Stonesfield Manor. 3 days a week, anyway. Screening our incoming coded traffic before it's unscrambled. Lately, he's been keeping an eye on Temptation Base.
Morris?
When Lightbourne was drafted to Los Alamos in 42, Morris wrote him a reference. He vouched for his good character. So he's a star witness now, whether he likes it or not. He'll meet you in Woodstock. Some bloody pub he knows.
I'd always enjoyed the Oxford drive. I slipped out onto the A40, planned to reach Woodstock by lunchtime. I was on the outskirts of the city when two day-tripping swingers on a Honda went speed-freaking past me at 90. There was a great-looking girl riding Pillion. I remembered Marianne and our drive to Brighton. The ring she'd thrown back at me. I shut my mind. Other things to think about. The pub was called The Bear. Morris was nursing a pint of bitter and watching the world out of the corner of his eye.
Hello, Morris.
My dear boy. How are you?
I can't complain. Yourself?
I'm liverish. I won't be here this time next year. But I have to say, it doesn't worry me one bit.
Not sorry to go.
Harold Wilson's England? You must be joking. Look at it. The clothes, the hemlines, the rudeness, the noise. Why does everyone play music the whole damn time?
I don't know, Morris.
The man who runs this pub has hair down to his waist. The lavatories are thick with graffiti. Has everyone taken leave of their senses?
I don't know. Where are we going?
Stonesfield Manor.
Cryptographer's Castle.
That's the one. Changed a bit since your day.
We swung out of Woodstock and motored through the hazy blue-green countryside towards Stonesfield. The woods and fields and farms seemed to calm Morris down. I thought he looked older, frailer than I'd remembered. He had a mind which found codes as beautiful as Chinese poetry. He'd spent his life recruiting agents, and who the hell knew who he was or what he had done?
Jack Lightbourne.
Deep background, Morris. Anything I won't find in the files.
It's an awfully long time ago.
He was a mate of yours, wasn't he?
Oh, hardly.
Snark said so.
Snark's a pain in the neck. No, we were colleagues, not friends. The distinction's actually quite important.
A nice man, was he?
Jack? I wouldn't say that.
What would you say?
He had an old aristocratic gift. He was a womanizer and a moralist. No one ever got near to him. Not even his mistresses, and there were quite a few.
Why was that?
He knew he was brilliant. Ambitious, too. So I fancy he distrusted his own motives. He was proud of being a scientist because it meant he wasn't working for himself.
Was he happy?
He never gave me that impression.
Unhappy?
Not unhappy. He used to say he didn't really believe in people. People were unreliable. You couldn't expect too much from them. Of course, he expected a great deal from them himself. What's he done?
He's had an accident. Given everybody a bit of bother.
And where do you fit into this?
I have to sell him a retirement policy.
Oh, that's a pretty euphemism.
Stonesfield Manor had once been a minor stately home. Now it was the largest code-breaking laboratory in England. Inside, the service had stripped it almost bare. A wilderness of typewriters, telephones, filing cabinets, graphs, maps, bright-colored pointer pins. Morris had an office on the first floor.
Here, cast your eye over this. I have to put my initials on these personally because they're not cleared for the typists. They actually got me out of bed for this one. First time since Stewart's. We lead a very sheltered life here. Moscow source, 18th of August. Subject, Czechoslovakia. Intercepted by temptation.
Advise and verify, stop. At approximately 23:30 hours local time, August 20th, single Antonov transport aircraft will seek permission to make emergency landing at Prague. Stop. Spetsnaz troops on board this aircraft have ordered to seize control tower in order to facilitate swift and disciplined landing of substantial airborne forces scheduled 90 minutes later. Stop. This operation will take place simultaneous with deployment of very large ground-based military exercise. Stop. These will cross border on receipt of code word, quote, Archangel, unquote, stop. Must stress our strong conviction NATO will not, repeat, not pursue military option in response to this operation. Impressive.
I know. Except it wasn't passed on to the United States. They didn't know about Czechoslovakia till it happened. Caught with their pants down.
Why?
Well, no one's told me, but rumor has it that Her Majesty's government are rather browned off with the Americans. We develop an atomic centrifuge, but President Johnson won't let us flog it to West Germany. We're not allowed to sell our computers to the Eastern Bloc, either.
So there's a bit of skullduggery going on, is there, Morris?
Not by Lightbourne. At least I assume not. I assume he's obeying orders, because if he isn't...
Quite.
Whatever it is, he's in the middle of it.
Trapped, you mean?
Oh, no. Not Jack. Loving it, I'd imagine. I always felt Jack wasn't really a perfect secret servant, because he liked the limelight too much. And he did enjoy thinking for himself.
We put on Wellington boots, left the radio and code rooms behind us, and went out for a hike through soft meadows and green lanes. Morris liked to walk. It was good for his heart. I figured the more he walked, the more he'd tell me.
What about his marriage?
Don't know anything about that.
This woman called Tara.
What's she like? What do you make of her?
She's gorgeous, Morris.
Half his age, too, I gather.
Yes.
Well, there you are. A man who believes he can change the world. A man of prodigious energy and ability. An arrogant man who gets his idealism from books and poetry. Then he falls in love. And love, as we all know, is a kind of insanity.
Don't sound so pleased about it, Morris.
Dear boy, she's the key. Whatever happened to him, it didn't happen until he married her. Romantic men like Lightbourne don't really want to live in the real world. They want to be in heaven with God, bringing order out of chaos.
You didn't like him much, did you?
Oh, personally, he was all right. After the war, lots of people came out of the woodwork who wanted to alter everything, and Jack was one of them. My word, what a perfect evening.
I knew what I had to do now. I had to take Morris to a restaurant, get him extremely drunk, flatter him, and make him feel my life depended on him. We went to the Elizabeth. I talked about work.
I'm sick to the back teeth with it, quite honestly, Morris. The aggravation, the intrusiveness, the total absence of any private life.
The loneliness?
No. Lonely is a sentimental word. It's solitary, not lonely.
I always found it lonely.
Did you?
There are compensations. The formal beauty of the work. It's very tranquil working with numbers. One mustn't grumble.
I'm having a spot of girlfriend trouble, Morris.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't remember an awful lot about your time here.
3 years of my life.
I taught you for 2 of them.
When you bothered to show up.
Oh, was I a bad tutor?
No, you were pretty good. You just didn't seem all that interested in teaching.
But I do remember wondering what on earth you did with your spare time. You were 20, and you never raised your head. Then it transpired you were catching the train to London each weekend and spending it with some splendid girl you'd found in a pub down the Earl's Court Road.
Her name was Pauline.
It's the story I'd tell about you if anyone ever came asking.
What about another bottle, Morrison? Cheers both up. Waiter. I don't like being kept in the dark.
Who's keeping you in the dark?
London. Well, they would, wouldn't they? Playing silly buggers is what they do best.
Mm. Ah, thank you. It's a funny old world. London isn't really supposed to take the initiative anymore. It's as if we couldn't be trusted with any qualities of leadership, or so they say in Washington. We discarded our last stitch of credibility when we elected Harold Wilson.
I'm being lied to, aren't I, Morris?
Almost certainly.
Well, that's okay, as long as I can figure out what I'm not being told. Let's talk about outward bound traffic. Start there.
Very well.
If someone inside Temptation, someone planted by us, is sending stuff out, eyes only stuff, addressed to London, coded, how likely is it the code's being cracked in transit by Temptation and our signals are being read?
Extremely likely.
So Temptation are eavesdropping on all our coded talkback.
It's wise to assume so.
Fine, that's half of it. I'm going out there, because I have to do every damn thing personally by hand. I can't send any messages.
Yes.
London wants me to wrap the place up. Who's giving the order? Morris, I'm in the dark. Can you help? Is it London?
I doubt it.
Washington?
Quite probably.
Why?
Can't help you there, Billy. America means business. Think about it. A few years ago, you may even remember, President Kennedy was shot. Now, there was a president who was quite sensationally indiscreet. He shared girlfriends with mobsters and others. He nearly got us all into nuclear war, first over Berlin, then over Cuba. If the material I've been reading is accurate, which I believe it is, he was by all accounts puffing cannabis on Air Force One and taking LSD in the White House itself. A brilliant, charismatic man. But he was a bad security risk, Billy. And somebody hit him. Let me tell you something, Billy, which I shouldn't be doing, but old men are indiscreet, particularly in their cups. And anyway, I don't fancy anyone's listening to you.
No, Morris.
When doors are opened and closed in the world today, the orders come from Washington, not London. Perhaps Washington's feeling let down over Czechoslovakia. Perhaps they don't like the idea of Jack Lightbourne taking sides. Or perhaps this country knows it's got to sacrifice someone, pass the buck for Prague. And Lightbourne's the man. Or perhaps it's Nightborne himself, doing his own thing, talking too loud, being too bloody brilliant. I don't know, Billy. There could be 100 reasons. Jack Lightbourne wasn't the sort who ever marries. His work was his life. And if he's married, I can't see that being so anymore. Nobody likes it when a VIP goes out on a limb.
Is marrying out on a limb?
In my book, yes. I mean, and I'm sure with his mistresses, he always kept his trap shut. But this woman, Tara, isn't his mistress. We have to assume he's in love. We have to assume she's an influence. And we definitely have to assume he's telling her things he never told his other girlfriends. What those things would be, well, I honestly couldn't guess. Oh, I must show you this, make you smile. Sent to me by a well-meaning colleague at St. Albans. It heard I was feeling poorly.
The watchman watches in vain, unless the Lord guards the city.
It's attributed to St. Francis de Sales, but of course it comes from Psalm 127.
Kindly meant, I'm sure.
An interesting quotation. Kennedy put it into the speech he was going to deliver in Dallas the day he was hit in the head by a bullet. Half his brain blown across the street. That's America. Past my bedtime, Billy. Got to get home to a lavatory.
I didn't realize how drunk we both were until I tried to get up and damn near fell down. Morris was close to the edge, but not quite over. I steered him out into the street.
Here, Morris, take my arm.
Whatever you're being asked to do, Billy, you're not doing it for yourself. Which is the best reason in the world for doing it.
Morris.
Hello?
Why do they really want Temptation Bay shut down?
I should have thought that was perfectly obvious.
Not to me.
Do you know how to stop loose talk? I'm quoting Nikita Khrushchev, who had reason to know. You shoot a few intellectuals. Good night, Billy.
It still wasn't dark. A weird glow lingering in the sky. I was crushingly tired and I wanted to sleep. In a restaurant opposite, well-fed tourists were finishing indolent summer meals. I saw a door open and a man came out. There was a girl with him. The girl on the motorcycle. Marianne. The man strolled off somewhere. I was ice cold. Marianne turned, saw me, and her eyes sort of jumped. I went over. I didn't know what I was going to do.
Hello, Billy.
I thought you were in the States.
No, well, I'm not.
Who's the weirdo in the Gucci boots?
His name's Johnny Martello.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Billy, he's an old friend.
Yeah, it looks as sort of be friendly.
I'm not discussing this now.
Oh, yes, you are.
Let go of my arm.
Make me.
Let go of my arm. Who the hell do you think you are?
You bloody well ought to know by now.
Shut up.
What are you doing here?
I've never seen Oxford. Johnny's an old pal. He offered to show me round.
An old pal? How long have you known him?
Ages. He's a friend of Melanie's.
Who the hell's Melanie?
A friend.
Oh, lots of friends, haven't you?
Yes.
So who's Johnny? Oh, come on. For God's sake, Marianne.
I've told you. He's just a guy I sometimes knock around with.
You slept with him?
Yes. Once or twice.
Is he any good?
Oh, Billy.
Is he?
Yes!
I might have guessed. I bet he's loaded too, isn't he? He buys you lots of expensive little knickknacks.
Oh, grow up, Billy.
I was going to marry you. But you bloody well forgotten.
You called it off, I didn't.
You're disgusting. You don't know what honesty means.
You ditched me, you arrogant bastard. I'd have married you like a shot, and I'm bloody glad I didn't.
You'd never have married me, would you?
Yes.
Would you still?
No.
I thought about you non-stop for the last 5 days.
I didn't think I could function unless I saw you. You never gave a damn about me, did you? You never gave a thought. I'm drunk. I'm sorry, I'm incredibly drunk.
I know.
If you want to take off with someone else, why shouldn't you?
He means nothing to me.
No, he's probably a reasonable sort of bloke. I've had it. I didn't want to see you like this. My life's coming to bits. I can't even control even the simplest things. I just blunder about, wrecking everything.
Oh, Billy.
I've got a cigarette.
Billy, I have to go.
Yeah. Me too. I've got to get up at 8. I'm going to have a hell of a hangover.
I'll be at this number from Tuesday.
Martha's Vineyard.
Yes.
You in love with him?
No.
Or anyone?
No.
Well, what's the fuss about?
If you want to apologize, you know where I'll be.
I'd signed in at some bed and breakfast place. I sat on the bed and tried to glue my head back together. I thought about women and what they mean to men. I thought about men and how they use women to make sense of their lives. How we all dream ourselves to damnation. Marianne, Tara, Morris. My head was full of funny people. Jack Lightborn. Hell, I had a problem and no answer. I got up at 8. I felt as if someone had emptied an ashtray into my mouth. I drove to London the way rally drivers do, just trusting my reflexes. Snark grinned at me.
Hello, Hindle.
You look a bit hungover.
I am.
And some Alka-Seltzer?
No, thanks, sir.
Well, now.
There are only two possibilities.
Yes?
Stella Golding found out something she wasn't supposed to, and Lightbourne's way out of line, in which case I blow the whistle.
Agreed.
Or Lightbourne's clean, which we all agree is more than likely. In which case, I know exactly how to put him on the floor.
Yes?
We assassinate his wife. I tried to figure it every other way, but the bits wouldn't come together. Then I thought, the target isn't Lightbourne, or the base. It's Tara. She's the smart way to hit him. Through the girl. It's simple. It'll look like an accident, and if I have it right, it'll leave him in tiny pieces. When it's over, we insist he takes a nice, long rest, away from everything. On, compassionate grounds. Believe me, he won't object.
I have nothing to say. Common sense forbids it, but if it's to be done, it must also be deniable.
Sure.
No mistakes, Billy boy. You muck this one up. You're on your own.
Temptation Island. I arrived in that gold late afternoon light. I've been traveling 12 hours and fatigue was hitting me now. On the overfly, I took a good look down. An island the size of Somerset in a perfect blue ocean. White beaches, tall palms, and patches of dark coral. Lots of ultraviolet. Cape Providence was Toy Town size, a whitewashed mansion in a clapboard compound. The rest was given over to tourists, the fat cats who could afford it. Touchdown. I recognized her at once. The target. Tara Lightbourne, rolling up to meet me in a flame-red Ferrari. I'd come to measure her for a coffin, and here she was already, giving me the gypsy eye.
How do you do? I'm Tara Lightbourne.
Billy Hindle.
Doesn't look as if there's much in that suitcase.
There isn't. Two shirts, two pairs of trousers, shaving kit, toothbrush, underwear, and a copy of The Wind in the Willows.
Travel light?
Uh-huh.
Fancy a spin, like good old Mr. Toad.
She was wearing a short blouse and cute polka dot trousers, rock and roll cast-offs, a nice, easy tennis court smile. I tried to enjoy it.
All men are obsessed by cars. What do you drive?
A dark green E-Type. It's got those wire wheels you can knock off with a brass-headed spanner. On lonely nights, I take them indoors and polish them.
Jack always says if you're going to drive, you should do it properly and let rip.
I'm looking forward to meeting him.
You knew the girl who died?
Yes.
You were close?
No, we were colleagues.
Jack loathes her. I thought I'd warn you.
Thank you. It's useful.
Don't be fooled by Jack smiling from ear to ear and being Jack. He's tired and he's miserable.
Why did he loathe her?
Search me. Jack's attitude to people, there are no nuances. It's black or white, nothing in between.
How do you feel about him?
Me? God knows. I don't think I have an opinion. Except that it'll probably kill Jack. He's such a bloody perfectionist. To have this happen... Well, I mean, it's a failure, isn't it? He's perfect, isn't he? He doesn't cock it up. Not ever. He's a genius.
There it was, dead ahead. Cape Providence. Standing at the end of a neat tree-lined driveway. The tall iron gates swung open as if by magic. I was in.
Go and meet Jack.
Mr. Hindle? I'm Jack Light.
Everybody has been burned before.
In part two of The Psychedelic Spy by Andrew Rissick, James Aubrey played Billy Hindle, Gerald Harper, Sir Richard Snark, Joanna Lumley, Tara Lightbourne, Charles Gray, Jack Lightbourne, Robert Edison, Morris Browning, and Lisa Rowe Beddoe, Marianne. Stella Golding was played by Tara Dominic, Hugo Bailey by Nigel Carrington, and Duncan Taylor by Fraser Carr. Technical supervision is by Wilfredo Acosta. The Psychedelic Spy is directed by Glyn Dearman.